It's November the 14th. Let's read the Bible. Friends, welcome back to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. Now, a few weeks ago, I was waxing eloquent in my comments at the end of one of the readings, talking about how the love of God reaches to every nation on earth. And I was just spontaneously mentioning many different nations on the different continents, just doing it off the top of my head. Came to South America and I mentioned Uruguay. So my friend Elsa, dear friend, wrote and said this, "Pastor Ray, I'm Uruguayan, and only by God's grace have I been called to serve Him. The Lord chose to awaken my heart after coming to the USA. I am His forever. Thank you for naming Uruguay today. I pray for my little country that is in need of Jesus. People there think they have no need of God because of their level of education, but I know it's only another deception because we need Jesus like we need oxygen. They are in great need for Him. Jesus, hear our prayer for Uruguay." Well, Elsa, I love this. It's true, isn't it? We need Jesus like we need oxygen. We ought to pray for Uruguay, Paraguay, Bolivia, Argentina, Chile, South Africa, Botswana, Gabon, that's in Africa, Nepal, Sri Lanka, Indonesia, Singapore, North Korea. Have you prayed lately for North Korea? Mongolia, great country of Russia, and San Marino, the Vatican. We ought to pray for those in the Vatican, and Armenia, and Georgia, and Azerbaijan, and Israel. Got to be praying for Israel and all the nations surrounding Israel, Europe, North America, South America. The whole world needs Jesus. And guess what? We've been given the good news. The good news revealed in the Word of God. So let's rejoice and thank God for it. Hey, we're going to read today Ezekiel 39, 40, 41, and 42. Just a reminder of the outline, judgment, restoration, worship. Judgment, chapters 1 through 32, book of Ezekiel, by the way. Restoration, chapters 30, 33 through 39. So we've got one final chapter in that section. And then worship. And let me just say that chapters 40 through 48 are fascinating. They describe a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem that is not Solomon's temple. It's not Zerubbabel's temple. It's not Herod's temple. It's much bigger. It's not any temple that's ever been built. Either you got to say it's just a vision or it's a prediction of a coming temple that is going to be rebuilt and exist during the coming thousand-year reign of Christ. It's a picture that first God judges, then He restores, then His people joyfully, freely, gladly worship Him. And that's the way it ought to be. When we sin, we are judged, but we come to the Lord. He restores us by His mercy and by His grace. Then we worship Him. So this whole book is like a parable of the spiritual life. Now, Gog and Magog, those countries to the north, in the last days, they're going to attack Israel. There's a confederation of nations. I think Russia's in there. Turkey may be in there. Ukraine could be in there. Iran in there. Other nations. Now, you say to me, exactly when's this going to happen? Sometime in the last days. And you say, could it happen before the rapture? I don't think so. I think it has to happen sometime during the tribulation period. But let's be honest. All we can say for sure is it's coming. It's going to happen. It will happen in the last days, leading up to the return of Jesus to the earth. Now, the battle has happened. Let's see the end of it. Ezekiel 39. Lord, speak to us. Speak to us. So we go beyond the words to the meaning, and we know and love you better because of it, in Jesus' name. Ezekiel 39, "As for you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, this is what the Lord God says, look, I'm against you, Gog, chief priest of Meshach and Tubal. I will turn you around, drive you on, and lead you up from the remotest parts of the north. I will bring you against the mountains of Israel. Then I will knock your bow from your left hand and make your arrows drop from your right hand. You, with all your troops and the peoples who are with you, will fall on the mountains of Israel. I will give you as food to every kind of predatory bird and to the wild animals. you will fall on the open field, for I have spoken. This is the declaration of the Lord God. I will send fire against Magog, those who live securely on the coasts and islands. Then they will know that I am the Lord. So I will make my holy name known among my people Israel, and will no longer allow it to be profaned. Then all the nations will know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Yes, it is coming. It will happen. This is the declaration of the Lord God. This is the day I have spoken about. Then the inhabitants of Israel's cities will go out, kindle fires, and burn the weapons, the small and large shields, the bows and arrows, the clubs and spears. For 7 years they will use them to make fires. They will not gather wood from the countryside or cut it down from the forest, for they will use the weapons to make fires. They will take the loot from those who looted them and plunder those who plundered them. This is the declaration of the Lord God. Now on that day I will give Gog a burial place there in Israel, the traveler's valley east of the sea. I will block those who travel through, for Gog and all his hordes will be buried there. So it will be called Hordes of Gog Valley. The house of Israel will spend 7 months burying them in order to cleanse the land. All the people of the land will bury them, and their fame will spread on the day I display my glory. This is the declaration of the Lord God. They will appoint men on a full-time basis to pass through the land and bury the invaders who remain on the surface of the ground in order to cleanse it. They will make their search at the end of the 7 months. When they pass through the land and one of them sees a human bone, he will set up a marker next to it until the buriers have buried it in Hordes of Gog Valley. There will even be a city named Hamona there, so they will cleanse the land. Son of man, this is what the Lord God says. Tell every kind of bird and all the wild animals, assemble and come, gather from all around to my sacrificial feast that I am slaughtering for you, a great feast on the mountains of Israel. You will eat flesh and drink blood. You will eat the flesh of mighty men and drink the blood of the earth princes, rams, lambs, male goats, and all the fattened bulls of Bashan. You will eat fat until you are satisfied and drink blood until you are drunk at my sacrificial feast that I have prepared for you. At my table, you will eat your full fill of horses and riders, of mighty men and all the warriors. This is the declaration of the Lord God. I will display my glory among the nations, and all the nations will see the judgment I have executed and the hand I have laid on them. From that day forward, the house of Israel will know that I am the Lord their God, and the nations will know that the house of Israel went into exile on account of their iniquity because they dealt unfaithfully with me. Therefore, I hid my face from them and handed them over to their enemies so that they all fell by the sword. I dealt with them according to their uncleanness and transgressions, and I hid my face from them. So this is what the Lord God says. Now I will restore the fortunes of Jacob and have compassion on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name. They will feel remorse for their disgrace and all the unfaithfulness they committed against me when they live securely in their land with no one to frighten them. When I bring them back from the peoples and gather them from the countries of their enemies, I will demonstrate my holiness through them in the sight of many nations. They will know that I am the Lord their God when I regather them to their own land. After having exiled them among the nations, I will leave none of them behind. I will no longer hide my face from them, for I will pour out my spirit on the house of Israel. This is the declaration of the Lord God. Now, I just got to stop here and say, look, friends, look. This has not been fulfilled yet, but it will be fulfilled. And by the way, the part about the birds eating the flesh, that reminds you of anything? Maybe Matthew 24? Does it remind you of Revelation 19? There's a tie-in between what Ezekiel talks about here. That's why I think this battle, this Gog and Magog, is part of the Armageddon campaign. It's going to lead up to the return of Christ at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. Now, God has restored his people. They are living in peace. They have one shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. What now? Chapter 40. In the 25th year of our exile, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th day of the month in the 14th year after Jerusalem had been captured, on that very day, the Lord's hand was on me, and he brought me there. In visions of God, he took me to the land of Israel and set me down on a very high mountain. On its southern slope was a structure resembling a city. He brought me there, and I saw a man whose appearance was like bronze, with a linen cord and a measuring rod in his hand. He was standing by the city gate. He spoke to me, "Son of man, look with your eyes, listen with your ears, and pay attention to everything I'm going to show you, for you've been brought here so that I might show it to you. Report everything you see to the house of Israel." Now, there was a wall surrounding the outside of the temple. The measuring rod in the man's hand was 6 units of 21 inches. Each unit was the standard length plus 3 inches. He measured the thickness of the wall structure. It was 10.5 feet, and his height was the same. Then he came to the gate that faced east and climbed its steps. He measured the threshold of the gate. It was 10.5 feet deep. One threshold was 10.5 feet deep. Each recess was 10.5 feet long and 10.5 feet deep, and there was a space of 8.5 feet between the recesses. The inner threshold of the gate on the temple side next to the gate's portico was 10.5 feet. Next, he measured the gate's portico. It was 14 feet, and its jambs were 3.5 feet. The gate's portico was on the temple side. There were 3 recesses on each side of the east gate, each with the same measurements, and the jambs on either side also had the same measurements. Then he measured the width of the gate's entrance. It was 17.5 feet, while the width of the gate was 22.75 feet. There was a barrier of 21 inches in front of the recesses on both sides, and the recesses on each side were 10.5 feet square. Then he measured the gate from the roof of one recess to the roof of the opposite one. The distance was 43.75 feet. The openings of the recesses faced each other. Next, he measured the porch, 105 feet. The distance from the front of the gate at the entrance to the front of the gate's portico on the inside was 87.5 feet. The recesses and their jambs had beveled windows all around the inside of the gate. The porticos also had windows all around on the inside. Each jamb was decorated with palm trees. Then he brought me into the outer court, and there were chambers and a paved surface laid all around the court. 30 chambers faced the pavement, which flanked the courtyard's gates and corresponded to the length of the gates. This was the lower pavement. Then he measured the distance from the front of the lower gate to the exterior front of the inner court. It was 175 feet. This was the east. Next, the north is described. He measured the gate of the outer court facing north, both its length and its width. Its 3 recesses on each side, its jambs, and its portico had the same measurements as the first gate, 87.5 feet long, 43.75 feet wide. Its windows, portico, and palm trees had the same measurements as those of the gate that faced east. 7 steps led up to the gate, and its portico was ahead of them. The inner court had a gate facing the north gate, like the one on the east. He measured the distance from gate to gate. It was 175 feet. He brought me to the south side, and there was also a gate on the south. He measured its jambs and portico. They had the same measurements as the others. Both the gates and his portico had windows all around like the other windows. It was 87.5 feet long and 43.75 feet wide. His stairway had 7 steps, and his portico was ahead of them. It had palm trees on its jambs, one on each side. The inner court had a gate on the south. He measured from gate to gate on the south. It was 175 feet. Then he brought me to the inner court through the south gate. When he measured the south gate, it had the same measurements as the others. Its recesses, jambs, and its portico had the same measurements as the others. Both it and its porticos had windows all around. It was 87.5 feet long, 43.75 feet wide. There were porticos all around, 43.75 feet long and 8.75 feet wide. His portico faced the outer court, and its jambs were decorated with palm trees. Its stairway had 8 steps. Then he brought me to the inner court on the east side. When he measured the gate, it had the same measurements as the others. Its recesses, jambs, and portico had the same measurements as the others. Both it and its portico had windows all around. It was 87.5 feet long and 43.75 feet wide. His portico faced the outer court, and its jambs were decorated with palm trees on each side. Its stairway had 8 steps. Then he brought me to the north gate. When he measured it, it had the same measurements as the others, as did its recess and jambs and portico. It also had windows all around. It was 87.5 feet long and 43.75 feet wide. Its portico faced the outer court, and its jambs were decorated with palm trees on each side. Its stairway had 8 steps. There was a chamber whose door opened into the gate's portico. The burnt offering was to be washed there. Inside the gate's portico, there were 2 tables on each side on which to slaughter the burnt offering, sin offering, and guilt offering. Outside, as one approaches the entrance of the north gate, There were two tables on one side and two more tables on the other side of the gate's portico. So there were four tables inside the gate and four outside, eight tables in all, on which the slaughtering was to be done. There were also four tables of cut stone for the burnt offering, each 31.5 inches long, 31.5 inches wide, and 21 inches high. The utensils used to slaughter the burnt offerings and other sacrifices were placed on them. There were 3-inch hooks fastened all around the inside of the room, and the flesh of the offering was to be laid on the tables. Outside the inner gate, within the inner court, there were chambers for the singers, one beside the north gate facing south, and another beside the south gate facing north. Then the man said to me, "This chamber that faces south is for the priests who keep charge of the temple. The chamber that faces north is for the priests who keep charge of the altar. These are the sons of Zadok, the ones from the sons of Levi who may approach the Lord to serve him." Next he measured the court. It was square, 175 feet long and 175 feet wide. The altar was in front of the temple. Then he brought me to the portico of the temple and measured the jambs of the portico. They were 8¾ feet thick on each side. The width of the gate was 24.5 feet, and the side walls of the gate were 5¼ feet wide on each side. The portico was 35 feet across and 21 feet deep, and 10 steps led up to it. There were pillars by the jambs, one on each side. That's Ezekiel chapter 40. Now, chapter 41. What's inside this future millennial temple? Next, he brought me inside into the great hall and measured the jambs. On each side, the width of the jamb was 10.5 feet. The width of the entrance was 17.5 feet, and the side walls of the entrance were 8¾ feet wide on each side. He also measured the length of the great hall, 70 feet, and the width, 35 feet. He went inside the next room and measured the jambs at the entrance. They were 3.5 feet wide. The entrance was 10.5 feet wide, and the width of the entrance's side walls on each side was 12¼ feet. He then measured the length of the room adjacent to the great hall, 35 feet, and the width, 35 feet. And he said to me, "This is the most holy place." Then he measured the wall of the temple. It was 10.5 feet thick. The width of the side walls all around the temple was 7 feet. The side rooms were arranged one above another in 3 stories, of 30 rooms each. There were ledges on the walls of the temple all around to serve as supports for the side rooms, so that the supports would not be in the temple wall itself. The side rooms supporting the temple widened at each successive story, for the structure surrounding the temple went up by stages. This was the reason for the temple's broadness as it rose, and so one would go up from the lowest story to the highest by means of the middle one. I saw that the temple had a raised platform surrounding it. This foundation for the side rooms was 10.5 feet high. The thickness of the outer wall of the side rooms was 8¾ feet. The free space between the side rooms of the temple and the outer chambers was 35 feet wide all around the temple. The side rooms opened into the free space, one entrance toward the north and another to the south. The area of free space was 8¾ feet wide all around. Now, the building that faced the temple yard toward the west was 122.5 feet wide. The wall of the building was 8¾ feet thick on all sides, and the building's length was 157.5 feet. Then the man measured the temple. It was 175 feet long. In addition, the temple yard and the building, including its walls, were 175 feet long. The width of the front of the temple, along with the temple yard to the east, was 175 feet. Next, he measured the length of the building facing the temple yard to the west, with its galleries on each side. It was 175 feet. The interior of the great hall and the porticos of the court, the thresholds, the beveled windows, and the balconies, all around with their 3 levels opposite the threshold, were overlaid with wood on all sides. They were paneled from the ground to the windows, but the windows were covered, reaching to the top of the entrance as far as the inner temple and on the outside. On every wall all around, on the inside and outside, was a pattern carved with cherubim and palm trees. There was a palm tree between each pair of cherubim. Each cherub had 2 faces, a human face turned toward the palm tree on one side and a lion's face turned toward it on the other. They were carved throughout the temple on all sides. Cherubim and palm trees were carved from the ground to the top of the temple and on the wall of the great hall. The doorposts of the great hall were square, and the front of the sanctuary had the same appearance. The altar was made of wood, 5¼ feet high and 3.5 feet long. It had corners, and its length and its sides were of wood. The man told me, "This is the table that stands before the Lord." The great hall and the sanctuary each had a double door, and each of the doors had 2 swinging panels. There were 2 panels for one door and 2 for the other. Cherubim and palm trees were carved on the doors of the great hall like those carved on the walls. There was a wooden canopy outside. in front of the portico. There were beveled windows and palm trees on both sides, on the side walls of the portico, the side rooms of the temple, and the canopies. You know, something just hit me. Well, I mean, really, right now, while I was reading this, Ezekiel was an engineer. He had to be. I mean, to be that specific, he had an engineer's mind. How could you do that? How could you see this in a vision and describe it so minutely, so specifically, 175 feet and 87 and a half feet, and there was a bunch of those there with something 3/4 feet and where the wood was and the cherub, you know, the face this way and the face that way. Well, man, this is really something. Ezekiel, sorry, folks, I just thought of this. He had to be an engineer. Engineer's mind to describe it this way. Ezekiel 42, then the man led me out by way of the north gate into the outer court. He brought me to the group of chambers opposite the temple yard and opposite the building to the north along the length of the chambers, which was 175 feet. There was an entrance on the north. The width was 87 and a half feet. Opposite the 35-foot space belonging to the inner court, opposite the paved surface belonging to the outer court, the structure rose gallery by gallery in 3 tiers. In front of the chambers was a walkway toward the inside, 17 and a half feet wide and 175 feet long. And their entrances were on the north. The upper chambers were narrower because the galleries took away more space from them than from the lower and middle stories of the building. For they were arranged in 3 stories and had no pillars like the pillars of the courts. Therefore, the upper chambers were set back from the ground more than the lower and middle stories. A wall on the outside ran in front of the chambers parallel to them toward the outer court. It was 87 and a half feet long. For the chambers on the outer court were 87 and a half feet long, while those facing the great hall were 175 feet long. At the base of these chambers, there was an entryway on the east side as one enters them from the outer court. In the thickness of the wall of the court toward the south, there were chambers facing the temple yard and the western building with a passageway in front of them, just like the chambers that face north. Their length and width, as well as all their exits, measurements, and entrances were identical. The entrance at the beginning of the passageway, the way in front of the corresponding wall, as one enters on the east side, was similar to the entrances of the chambers that were on the south side. Then the man said to me, the northern and southern chambers that face the courtyard are the holy chambers where the priests who approach the Lord will eat the most holy offerings. There they will deposit the most holy offerings, the grain offerings, sin offerings, and guilt offerings, for the place is holy. Once the priests have entered, they are not to go out from the holy area to the outer court until they have removed the clothes they minister in, for they are holy. They are to put on other clothes before they approach the public area. When he finished measuring inside the temple complex, he led me out by way of the gate, faced east, and measured all around the complex. He measured the east side with a measuring rod. It was 875 feet by the measuring rod. He measured the north side. It was 875 feet by the measuring rod. He measured the south side. It was 875 feet by the measuring rod. Then he turned to the west side and measured 875 feet by the measuring rod. He measured the temple complex on all 4 sides. It had a wall all around it, 875 feet long and 875 feet wide, to separate the holy from the common. Yeah. He was an engineer in an engineer's mind. So careful. One thing, maybe two of them, were done for today. This is not Solomon's temple. Nothing. Really, not at all. Couldn't be. This is not Zerubbabel's temple. It's not Herod's temple. No temple like this has ever been built. We're going to see there's some topographic changes. We're going to talk about the land around Jerusalem in the final reading tomorrow from Ezekiel. This describes something yet future. Let me say this at the end and we'll be done for today. God always intended that after judgment, there would be restoration. After restoration, there would be worship, holy and pure and right before the Lord. That's always God's plan. God judges us that he may restore us, that we may worship him. Don't get lost in all the details. This is for the engineers to think about. But just see the pattern. God wants you to worship him. He's going to separate the holy from the common. He wants you to worship Him in holiness, freedom, and truth. So let's give God praise today. Go out today. Have a great day. Oh, give thanks to the Lord and worship His holy name. We are a generation. We're a kingdom of priests before the Lord. We're going to see that as we get into Hebrews and 1 Peter in the next few weeks. God intends us to worship Him. We're going to worship Him in heaven. Let's get started now. Go out, friends. Have a great, glorious day worshiping the Lord. Have a great day. Come back tomorrow. We're going to finish Ezekiel on a high and triumphant note. And there's a lot more measuring to be done. We'll get to that tomorrow. God bless. Have a great day. See you back here tomorrow. God bless.